Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Another punishing report on care at the VA. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Welcome into Tuesday, June 10. Glad you could be with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
A newly released internal audit by the Department of Veterans Affairs offers disturbing information about the number of vets waiting to see a doctor.
How could so many physicians be making so much money off of Medicare? Details from a Wall Street Journal investigation.
Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is expected to offer a rigorous defense of the prisoner swap that freed Sergeant Bo Bergdahl.
And why President Obama might consider borrowing a page from the playbook of his predecessors for his final 2.5 years in office.
What you find out if you look at these past presidencies is the most important thing to finishing on a high note if you're a two-term president is to see the economy improve over the last 2 years. That is a more important factor than other controversies like the ones that are swirling around President Obama right now.
Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib on lessons from Reagan and Clinton for Obama. That report is later in the hour. It's time for a morning brief, and it's brought to you by CSX. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is expected to defend the swap that freed Sergeant Bo Bergdahl when he goes before a House committee tomorrow, an effort to calm the political controversy. The exchange at the end of May involved the release of five Taliban commanders in exchange for Sergeant Bergdahl. The controversy also includes how it was handled by the Obama administration, specifically the decision not to notify Congress in advance. Now, the Obama administration yesterday tried to tamp down congressional criticism of the deal by meeting with scores of House lawmakers in a classified briefing. Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann was not comforted, knowing that dozens in the administration were aware of the deal ahead of time.
They made it clear that there were 80 to 90 people who knew ahead of time about the Bergdahl release, not one of whom was a member of the United States Congress.
Critics also say the administration's decision to keep lawmakers out of the loop until Sergeant Bergdahl was free has damaged its already fragile relationship with Congress. More unsettling news about care for our veterans. An internal audit released yesterday shows nearly 60,000 vets are waiting to get appointments at the Department of Veterans Affairs. In addition, 70% of VA hospitals have used a secret waiting list to make wait times appear shorter. And how about this? 10% of staff were given instruction on how to use that list. Philip Matkovsky is Undersecretary of the VA.
Nothing saddened me more than an employee who says, I was trying to do it right, I know it is right, and I received instruction to do it wrong. That is just simply not tolerable.
More on the story now from Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. Ben, give us the latest on all these investigations.
Right now, there are a number of different reviews occurring with the Department of Veterans Affairs. The Inspector General has a review ongoing. One of the Obama administration's aides, Rob Neighbors, has some sort of a report that's going to be forthcoming. The House Committee on Veterans Affairs also has stuff they're looking into. And the VA is doing its own internal audit. And that audit shows that about 60,000 veterans are waiting to be scheduled for care, and about 64,000 5,000 veterans have enrolled over the past 10 years and have yet to be seen for an appointment.
60,000 is a huge number. Does that mean the problem is basically everywhere?
They found that a wide variety of facilities across the United States, that people who are in charge of scheduling practices have been using unauthorized scheduling practices. They've been, tinkering with the way the software works, and they some 10% have said that they've been instructed on how to do this by someone else at the facility. So it's a widespread systemic problem, and the Inspector General has also released an interim report on this already that shows much of the same information.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. How long you think it'll take to devise an effective plan of addressing the broad dysfunction at the VA?
As soon as this all came to light in mid-April, the former Secretary Shinseki started trying to be proactive and get out ahead of this. And then since then, the acting Secretary Sloan Gibson has also moved to get ahead of this issue. The VA launched this internal review of this internal audit on their own in order to identify the problems, see it for themselves, but to also be able to figure out a way to get in touch with all of these vets who have been either been waiting for a long time in the system, have had trouble getting appointments, and right now they're sending mobile teams and beefing up the healthcare teams at places like Phoenix to take care of a lot of these backlog of people who are waiting for appointments.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. That is just maddening. 12 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Remember, by the way, that you can follow the Wall Street Journal this morning on Twitter, Facebook, and now TuneIn. Join the thousands already following us on the new TuneIn app and TuneIn.com. You want to do whatever it takes to make sure your business runs efficiently, but constant trips to the post office can definitely get in the way, eating up valuable time that you could be spending on growing your business instead. So bring the post office right to your desk with Stamps.com. You don't have to be a postal expert. Stamps.com makes it easy to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, using what you already have, your own computer and printer. Then just hand it to your mailman. It's that easy. Join the 500,000 small businesses that use Stamps.com and never have to go to the post office again. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer. It includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter can be expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. Deadly shooting in Las Vegas of three people, including two police officers, is being examined by the Justice Department. Sunday's rampage also included the deaths of Jared and Amanda Miller, a husband and wife team that authorities say were responsible for the murders and then carried out a suicide pact in which they took their own lives. In an exclusive story today, Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett says Attorney General Eric Holder wants a closer look at possible violent threats from domestic anti-government extremists. He's on the T-Mobile hotline now. Devlin, is it normal for justice to get involved in something like this?
It's a bit unusual to ask his people internally to notify him personally if they come across that kind of threat information. What's interesting about the timing of all this is that just last week he announced that he was reconstituting a long-defunct task force on domestic terrorism that had basically been sidelined after the 9/11 attacks and never really had done anything in more than a decade. And given some recent shootings, obviously this predates what happened on Sunday, but given some recent shootings, he decided to recast that task force and to pay closer attention to stuff like this. And so within days of it, it looks like there's another instance which, at least in his mind, probably, you know, confirms that the need to be thinking a little more about this threat and worrying a little more about folks who might use this as a justification for some kind of violence.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett in Washington. Is there evidence that this is becoming a more prevalent problem?
I don't think you could say that there's empirical evidence out there that says there's more of this than there was before. But what worries some folks in the Justice Department is there have been specific incidents. I think Sunday's shooting in Las Vegas counts as one, but there's others, including a couple of years ago, a shooting at a Sikh temple in Wisconsin. And incidents like that, where there seems to be a pronounced anti-government view, also sometimes motivated by racial prejudice, apparently, where they are concerned and they do want to, in their own minds, make sure that in their concern about Al-Qaeda-inspired terrorism, the sort of global terrorism that we all think about most often when folks say terrorism, that we're not forgetting to look for domestic terrorism, folks who are motivated by completely other issues. And this goes back to what the original task force was created for. The original task force was created after the Oklahoma City bombing. So in that sense, everything old is new again.
Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett in Washington. Here's a story that'll make you curse the massive government bureaucracy and how it manages your tax dollars. A Wall Street Journal investigation has found that more than 2,300 healthcare providers made at least $500,000 or more from Medicare in 2012 from a single procedure or service. Here's the Wall Street Journal this morning's Jeff Bellinger.
The analysis also found that a few of the doctors who make most of their money from just a few procedures reveals that they are operating outside their areas of expertise or deviating from standard medical practice. The journal profiles a doctor in Los Angeles named Ronald Weaver. Although he is not a cardiologist, 98% of the $2.3 million that his practice received from Medicare in 2012 was for a cardiac procedure. That procedure was used on just six patients that year at the Cleveland Clinic, a hospital renowned for heart care. Dr. Weaver's clinic administered it to 615 patients, billing Medicare nearly 17,000 times. Gordon?
Thanks, Jeff. By the way, in an interview with the Journal, Dr. Weaver said he learned about the procedure by reading lots of articles. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. At least 60,000 and as many as more than 100,000 veterans are seeing wait times of more than 3 months for VA health care appointments. That's according to an internal audit from the troubled agency, VA Under Secretary Philip Metkovsky.
This is a breach of trust. It is irresponsible, it is indefensible, and it is unacceptable.
The VA report shows that staff at up to 76% of facilities surveyed reported that they were instructed to misrepresent appointment data at least once. Lawsuits against GM alleging economic losses from faulty ignition switches are being sent to federal court in Manhattan, the location of bankruptcies for both GM and parts maker Delphi. Meanwhile, GM directors and executives are expected to face questions about the ignition switch scandal at the annual shareholders meeting today. America's employers continue to boost their hiring plans, according to Manpower. It finds that 22% of companies intend to hire people in the third quarter, the best number since 2008.
Across all industry sectors, all 13 industry sectors that we surveyed, they all had a positive outlook. I think it's good to start there. Leisure and hospitality, mining, and wholesale and retail trade led the way.
Chris Layden is with Manpower. Dallas, Texas was among cities with the strongest hiring prospects in this survey, but Miami was among the weakest. Stock futures are slightly negative this morning after more record highs for Wall Street. The Dow added about 19 points. The S&P 500 saw its 19th closing record of the year, tacking on two. The NASDAQ gained 15. Volume remained sparse, but merger and acquisition activity helped the market yesterday. And investors still appeared upbeat following last week's decent economic reports. Overseas today, Asian markets were mixed. London shares are down a bit. The NCAA says it's settled a lawsuit over the use of college players' likenesses in video games made by Electronic Arts and will pay $20 million to current and former athletes. This announcement came in California at the start of a federal trial for a separate case where the NCAA is defending itself against a suit claiming that it blocked generations of student athletes from making money off of their images. It's crunch time for the New York Rangers, who now trail the L.A. Kings 3-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Kings are a win away from raising the cup after shutting out the Rangers last night in New York 3-0. Meanwhile, the NBA Championship Series resumes tonight in Miami, tied at 1 game apiece with San Antonio.
Hashtag Go Spurs. But I think I've been down that road before. It's probably clear at this point.
You going to stay up and watch a little bit of the game?
No. I'll check the app in the wee hours of tomorrow morning when I wake up. Thank you, Gina. 23 minutes after the hour now on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours. Which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Thanks for being with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by T-Mobile. Unleash the potential of your business with T-Mobile, the company that's changing the way business does wireless. Studying genes has been identified as a key to understanding Alzheimer's, cancer, autism. But the huge genetic databases require computing storage that most scientists and academic institutions don't have. But Google and the research foundation Autism Speaks will be announcing a partnership today designed to house the sequencing of 10,000 genomes and other clinical data. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Shirley Wong. Shirley, what do we have here?
What's exciting here is that Google and Autism Speaks, which is a major autism research foundation, are going to announce a partnership where Google will actually house the information sequenced from 10,000 individuals who will have their genome sequenced. And this is, again, significant because right now, basically, each genome is so big that only a few will actually fit onto the typical computer. So if scientists want to work with these databases, they actually have to sometimes hard copy, you know, send each other hard drives in the mail or otherwise work around these huge data storage problems.
Sounds like it could save some time, too, if we're not mailing these things back and forth, right? At least a little bit.
Absolutely. And also, it may be an equalizer because right now, individuals, scientists who are most likely to work with these big data sets tend to be from big institutions that have either the storage space or the computing power that allows them to do this. But the idea with Google and Autism Speaks is that the information will be stored on the Google Cloud, but also that the analytical tools will also be run off of the cloud. So in theory, what this means is that any researcher can access the information and actually do analyses, conduct research, even if they're at a smaller institution that normally doesn't have these tools.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Shirley Wong. Anybody saying that this, I don't know, could really accelerate advances for some sort of blockbuster with so many potentially new eyes on it?
That's definitely what people are hoping for. And there are some early examples, one in particular that a researcher pointed out to me is in the area of heart disease. So there was a particular gene that was identified from genomic findings in the mid-2000s. It's something called the PCSK9 gene. And when people have a mutation of this gene, of this gene that reduces the amount of a particular protein that is produced, and that protein seems to help regulate cholesterol levels. So what they found was that people with this mutation didn't appear to develop heart disease.
Thanks, Shirley. Wall Street Journal reporter Shirley Wong, who's based in London. I find it interesting, too, this database would be open to anyone who wants to access it, any researcher, right? Normally, folks at smaller institutions might not have access to this type of stuff. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, what President Obama might learn from his predecessors. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Thanks for being with us. It's Tuesday, June 10. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, a maddening internal audit from the VA about care for our vets. In fact, a journal editorial today says the VA tries to wish away these problems by claiming the hospitals lack doctors and that schedulers were poorly trained. But it says, to the contrary, many staffers seem to have been trained all too well to deceive Central VA Command. Also, the LA Kings are now 60 minutes away, and the creepy crawly things that World Cup visitors might encounter in Brazil. That report in about 20 minutes. Well, it's a short list of presidents in the last half century who've been where President Obama is now, which is almost midway through a second term as president. And only one of them, Ronald Reagan, saw his standing with the public improve much in the final 30 months of his term. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib is wondering if Mr. Obama can learn anything from that experience. Jerry, how do you see it?
In the history of the country, or at least in the last half century of the history of the country, only three people have been where President Obama is right now, which is to say nearly midway through a second presidential term, 2.5 years left to go to round out an agenda, finish with a flourish. And these three predecessors, that would be Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush, all were at slightly different his positions at this point in their presidencies than President Obama is now. They all took different paths. But I think if we look at the way they move forward from this point forward, there might be a clue for President Obama about what's the most important thing going forward. And I think what you find out if you look at these past presidencies is the most important thing to finishing on a high note, if you're a two-term president, is to see the economy improve over the last 2 years. That is a more important factor than other controversies like the ones that are swirling around President Obama right now. It's at some level, it's all still the economy, stupid.
Right. What about the congressional makeup? Was it similar for his predecessors as well?
Well, they had all sorts of varieties of that, and that's one of the things that makes it difficult to generalize. But I think what you see is that if you look at these three predecessors, at this point in their presidency, Presidents Clinton and Reagan were much more popular than President Obama is right now. They were both at the 60% range in job approval. President Obama is about at 44%, and George W. Bush is lower at about 36% at this stage in his presidency.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib about what President Obama might learn from President Reagan or President Clinton, for that matter. It got very personal then, right? It became, how am I doing? If I'm doing okay, well, then I'll give the president the thumbs up in these surveys.
Well, that's an interesting point because, you know, you can make the argument, and I think it's a plausible argument, that presidents get too much blame for the economy when it's not doing well and too much credit when it is doing well. But that seems to be a fact of life. I mean, if you look at the Reagan presidency, at this point, this quarter of Ronald Reagan's presidency, economic growth shot up to 4.1%. And then in the last 2 years of his presidency, or the last year at least, it was at a sustained level of over 4%. Well, by contrast, President Obama has an economy that actually shrank by one percentage point in the last quarter. So he's got a long way to go to recover from that. But that kind of economic growth held President Reagan in good stead through the Iran-Contra scandal, which almost led to his impeachment. And President Clinton, as I said before, did get impeached. But economic growth at 4% every year in the second term of the Clinton presidency was enough to override those problems.
So in this scenario, roughly 30 months to go for President Obama, are there signs that the economy could turn around and therefore turn around his fortunes?
Well, that's what's interesting about the current situation. You know, he's taking a lot of licks right now because of the controversy over the Bo Bergdahl release, controversy over Veterans Administration and health care, controversy that lingers over Obamacare, controversy over Russia's intimidation of Ukraine. But the silver lining those clouds, I think, were the job numbers last week that said the economy created more than 200,000 jobs for the fourth straight month. And that's the first time since 1999 there have been four straight months of job creation of 200,000 jobs or more. Now, that's not rip-roaring economic boom kind of performance, but it's the most sure sign of sustained economic growth that we've seen for quite a while. If that continues, that would definitely go from being the silver lining in the clouds to, I think, the issue that's in the forefront of the last 2 years of the Obama presidency.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal Washington Bureau Chief Jerry Seib. It is 21 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal This Morning.
Traveling overseas for business comes with a checklist of things to worry about. But with T-Mobile, you can take getting international data off that list. Because with the Simple Choice for Business plan, unlimited data in over 100 countries is automatically included at no extra charge. Only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Tuesday. It's time now for an automotive update, and it's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Find a great deal on a brand new car at AutoTrader.com. Compare prices and special offers on new cars from local dealers. AutoTrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace. You've probably noticed the sticker prices on new cars have been climbing lately, but there's good news. Car and Driver has put together a list of the best 30 cars for under $30,000. Eddie Alterman is editor-in-chief at Car and Driver, and he's with us today from Detroit. Eddie, what should we know?
Cars are getting more and more expensive, and the average transaction price has crept over $30,000 for the past 5 years. And, you know, that's a lot of money. But what we're seeing now is that there's so much good stuff under that price point. Characterful cars like the Jeep Willis, the new VW GTI, the Mini Cooper, even the Mustang.
So what's making them so much more expensive? Is it the computer and electronics that are in there now?
Yeah, I mean, safety regulations, nav systems. The price is really being passed on to the consumer for all these new safety regulations, fuel economy regulations. But the good part is all that stuff is being amortized across the entire fleet. So a lot of that stuff is really trickling down to the cheaper cars.
Yeah. The problem, too, is that these gadgets are glorious, right, and all the things they can do. But you're getting somewhat of a fender bender. Replacing that stuff seems incredibly expensive and time-consuming.
Yeah, and, you know, people have been talking for a while now that all the software in these cars is making them basically unfixable. So who knows what the classic car market will be like in 20, 30 years. So the stuff now while it's good and new.
Oh, I never even thought about that, because it's so, what, typical for one of these cars to just be declared a total in ago would have been considered a minor accident?
Well, it's not a total, but, you know, over the life of the car, as the software ages out, gets harder to fix, more expensive,
all these
subsystems that are maybe driven by computers that don't even work anymore, you start to look at it and go, I don't know.
We're speaking with Eddie Alterman, editor-in-chief at Car and Driver, and we're talking about their list of the 30 cars under $30,000. All right, so take us through some of the list. You mentioned the Volkswagen, a couple others. What's on the list? What should we look at?
Some of the star cars are the new Mustang. That starts at around $24,500 for the V6 model. The new VW GTI, just fantastic car, been evolved for a very, very long time. Hatchbacks are getting more in vogue. They're very, very functional. They got the functionality of an SUV, but not the high center of gravity, so they're a little bit more fun. That's around $28,000. The Jeep Willis, fantastic, fantastic car. Enzo Ferrari called the Jeep America's sports car. That's under $30,000, well under $30,000. And the new Mini Cooper, the Fiesta ST, so much fun to be had under $30,000.
Was there a theme to this? Was it mostly imports? Was it German engineering? What'd you find?
Well, one of the things that we found is that American car companies used to really be very nonchalant about small cars, and they did not take them seriously, really to their peril, starting in the 70s at the first fuel crunch. But car makers in America, like Ford and Chevy, have gotten so good at small cars. The Fiesta ST is a great example. The Focus ST, great example. Chevy Cruze, although not on the list, could have made it. But you can even get a Camaro for under $30,000. But the point is that small cars are serious business in Detroit once again.
Are these vehicles going to last? They're going to get me 200,000 miles, for example.
Yeah, cars are so much more reliable and so much better built than they ever have been. And it's been a constant, you know, evolving, continual process. But I think that even though we talked about cars aging out, they're going to last longer than, you know, the cars of the 70s.
Okay.
Certainly did.
Thanks, Eddie. Eddie Alterman, editor-in-chief at Car and Driver. Again, 30 cars for under $30,000. We didn't get to the whole list there, but it's a good list, you know. And I asked about the 200,000 because my 04 Camry is approaching 200,000 miles, and I don't like to think about it, but someday I might have to get a new car. I will keep this under 30,000 list in mind. The Mustang is on there. The Mazda MX-5 Miata is there. Subaru BRZ. The Hyundai Genesis. As he mentioned, the Chevy Camaro is on there. It's a wide-ranging list. The Toyota FJ Cruiser is there. The Mini Cooper S Hardtop.
a nice range. The 2015 Volkswagen GTI. It is 14 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, Gina Cervetti with our top stories.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours. Which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter can be expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer, a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ. 9 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's first news.
Good morning for veterans and the administration that is supposed to be there for them. A scandal involving lengthy wait times gets worse. An internal audit from the VA finds that it could be more than 100,000 veterans that are enduring wait times in excess of 3 months for VA health care appointments. The Justice Department is looking for possible violent threats from anti-government extremists in the wake of Sunday's deadly Las Vegas shooting of two police officers and a third victim, a man at a Walmart who tried to stop the rampage. Police say the shootings were carried out by Jared and Amanda Miller, a married couple who then killed themselves in an apparent suicide pact.
We believe that they equate government and law enforcement fascism and those who support it with Nazis.
Clark County Assistant Sheriff Kevin McMahill. Federal authorities are going after an underground online marketplace that deals in explosives, toxins, and biological agents. A criminal complaint filed in San Francisco showed that the Department of Homeland Security began probing activity on a site called Black Market Reloaded about a year ago in the case of a political consultant who was being held on explosives charges. U.S. foreclosure activity is at an 8-year low. Realty Track says banks are taking over fewer homes and foreclosure starts hit their lowest in years. Last month, there were almost 110,000 properties across some stage of foreclosure, down 5% from the month before and 26% from a year ago. Stock futures this morning are trending a little negative after more new closing highs on Wall Street. The Dow and the S&P 500 had new highs, with the Dow up about 19, the S&P adding about 2, and the NASDAQ advancing about 15 points.
We're not getting those 100, 200, 300 point up days or down days, and thus it feels, I think, that the market isn't doing much. But when you kind of take a step back and look, we've kind of been chugging along, churning along, moving higher.
Chuck Carlson is with Horizon Investment Services in Indiana. Sony's bringing its PlayStation TV video and game streaming device to North America this fall. It'll cost $99 and allow you to stream some older PlayStation titles and games. When Google implements Europe's new right to be forgotten online, it may also alert web users that a search result has in fact been removed. Google is considering an alert so people will know a record has been scrubbed. Might also share some elements of the individual removal requests with chilling effects, the anti-censorship clearinghouse.
So even as you are working on getting removed, there could be an alert indicating that, in fact, some information has been removed.
Correct.
Is that what's happening? Oh, jeez. All right. Thank you, Gina. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up next, two creepy things that could spook visitors to the World Cup in Brazil. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. Ah, yes, Brazil, the magical land of soccer and creepy things like spiders and snakes. Brazil is a wonderful place for the World Cup, which begins Thursday, but it could prove problematic for traveling fans who suffer from two of the most common phobias, arachnophobia and ophidiophobia. Brazil has lots of snakes. On one island off the coast of Sao Paulo, there is said to be a snake every square meter, though local rumor puts the figure as high as 5 per square meter. There you can find the highly venomous golden lancehead pit viper, whose bite could kill you in a matter of hours. Separately, the Brazilian wandering spider is of particular concern. It's not afraid of entering human dwellings and has a reputation of being aggressive. In addition, this beast is the size of a dinner plate and is also the most poisonous spider in the world. There is an antidote, so deaths are rare. But here's the bizarre part. Its venom can, in some cases, cause, let's say, a certain arousal in male victims. Yeah, which seems an unnecessarily cruel blow to a man's dignity if he's already afraid of spiders. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning.